This is Jenny.
And this is Amanda.
And we're from Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
Every second and fourth Tuesday of the month here on WGXC Acre Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. It's during our Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we're trying to decide if we can afford to keep our FM antenna on a large tower in Greene County. It's time to renew our lease or not for our antenna on the tower, and we need to be financially secure enough to do that, and we need a few more folks to sign up as sustaining supporters at wgxc.org/donate in order to renew that lease. That's wgxc.org/donate. Please go there and consider making a pledge to become a sustaining supporter or just making any donation of any kind at wgxc.org/donate and make a vote to keep WGXC on the FM airwaves.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston, and they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar will be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that a retro diner upper mid-scale hotel, expanded Stewart's shop, and a new tourism center are all part of the Green Industrial Development Agency's plans for Route 23B. The IDA began work on a 60-acre business park on Route 23B near New York State Thruway Exit 21 in 2017, securing 8 parcels, completing an environmental impact statement, and mitigating sensitive archaeological areas in order to attract new businesses. Now the IDA is announcing the first tenant, Bell Jar Holdings Company, in the Exit 21 West Business Park. Bell Jar Holdings acquired a 1.7-acre parcel with plans to rehabilitate the existing garage on the site and add a 1950s diner as a second building. The garage will be converted into a gourmet food market, and the 1950s diner will open as a bar serving local beers and cocktails. The new owners, Dennis Canuck and Rhiannon Jones, say, quote, "We look forward to creating a welcoming space for locals and visitors alike to get a taste of the best of the Catskills and the Hudson Valley have to offer," unquote. Additional land is available in the park and is being prepared for future development. The IDA is constructing a new access road, will extend water and sewer lines, and is getting the site ready for 3 pads. One of those pads is dedicated to a new 80-room upper mid-scale hotel. The IDA recently signed a term sheet with Windsor Hospitality Management and Southern Realty and Development to build and operate a Hampton Inn by Hilton. Greene County Legislative Chair Patrick Linger said the county is quite pleased with the hotel agreement. Stewart's Shops also signed a contract to purchase land in the Exit 21 East Business Park to relocate and build a new retail store. The new stores will be located at the current site of the Greene County Tourism Center. A tourism center will be torn down to allow a new Stewart's to be built. The existing Stewart's will be renovated to house a new tourism visitor center. The IDA set aside the funds to help with the construction of the center, and Stewart's will donate the building. Eric Hogland, chair of the Green IDA board, said to expect shovels in the ground in early spring 2023 and lots of construction activity at both sites. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
The Times Union reports how national political action committees are running misleading local attack advertisements in the 19th congressional district election. The National Republican Campaign Committee, for instance, is running an attack ad against Josh Riley, the Democrat running to replace Pat Ryan as local congressperson, quoting Riley as saying, and I quote, "help not handcuffs," end quote, claiming that he is saying that is what violent criminals deserve. But in the clip of Riley used in the ad, he is actually talking about people undergoing mental health issues. And the phrase "help not handcuffs" Riley uses is a quote from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Riley's campaign website says he is for additional funding for law enforcement and that the candidate, and I quote, is adamantly opposed to proposals to defund the police, end quote. The Times Union also looked at an attack ad against Riley's opponent, Republican Mark Molinaro. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has been running an ad locally attacking Molinaro's opposition to abortion, saying, and I quote, "Molinaro supports taking away a woman's right to choose, turning it over to politicians," end quote. Molinaro's campaign attorney wrote a letter to television stations and cable providers demanding they stop running the ad, saying it, and I quote, "falsely represents Mark Molinaro's position regarding abortion," end quote. Molinaro has not said he wants abortion to be illegal, but does support a ban after 17 weeks of pregnancy. He has not weighed in on Republican Senator Lindsey Graham's national proposal to ban abortion after 15 weeks. Voting in this year's congressional election begins October 29th and ends November 18th. Read both stories in the Times Union.
Columbia Green Media reports that an employee of Barbado Disposal of Hillsdale was killed the morning of October 24th in an accident involving a trash dumpster in the city of Hudson, Police Chief L. Edward Moore said. Police did not provide the worker's name, pending notification of family members. At about 11:21 a.m., Hudson police received a report that a dumpster had just fallen on top of a man in the 200 block of Long Alley. All available Hudson police units responded to the scene to assist the Greenport Rescue Squad. Officer Kevin Kaiser and the paramedics attempted life-saving measures, including CPR, without success, Moore said. The man was pronounced dead on the scene. Based on witness accounts, the dumpster fell on the worker while it was being lowered to the ground from a garbage truck. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration was notified of the accident Investigators spent several hours on the scene, and the entire area was closed to the public, Moore said. Barbado Disposal is a family-owned company and has operated locally for more than 60 years. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Pat Ryan is figuring out what tools and leverage he can marshal at the federal level to get Central Hudson to fix its billing practices. Ryan called Central Hudson's handling of billing procedures, and I quote, borderline criminal, end quote. Central Hudson has been sending customers bills that are very high and also not sending customers any bills and then sending them several with quick deadline for payment while, according to Ryan, making, and I quote, record-breaking revenues and profits, end quote. Ryan said, and I quote, this public utility, they need to be answerable to us. I'm going to continue to escalate with every tool I have. I did it as county executive, and I'm going to escalate ever further now as your member of Congress to put and keep pressure on, end quote. Ryan, currently the 19th Congressional District Representative, is running for the 18th Congressional seat this fall after redistricting jumbled the local maps. You can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman that Republican congressional candidate Colin Schmidt on October 21st shared a dishonestly edited social media post excerpted from a Freeman video interview to suggest that U.S. Representative Pat Ryan, his Democratic opponent, responded to a Freeman question in a way he did not. The post appeared on Schmidt's Twitter account along with a comment stating, quote, honesty is the best policy, unquote. Ryan's actual answer from the interview was cut from the video. Ryan is running for the 18th Congressional District seat and spoke with the Daily Freeman on October 21st in a one-hour video interview. Schmidt declined repeatedly to participate in both a debate hosted by the Daily Freeman and in a video interview with the paper, the only invited candidate to do so. He participated in a one-hour Meet the Candidates forum hosted by the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce on September 27th, his only appearance with Ryan in Ulster County. Schmidt, a state assembly member from New Windsor, backed out of a debate with Ryan at Bard College, but had one debate with Ryan at Marist College hosted by Spectrum News and a candidate forum by the Dutchess Chamber of Commerce last week. During his interview with the Freeman, Ryan was asked about his past employment with Dataminer, which gathers public information from social media and sells it to a variety of companies across the world. In that interview, Ryan answers, quote, sure, this is another area where there's a lot of BS information out there where it's totally misleading, unquote. But in the campaign clip, the video was cut after Ryan said the word sure, making it sound as if Ryan admitted that the content gathered was sold to Russia. Schmidt and National Republican Congressional Committee Regional Press Secretary Samantha Bullock each shared that misleading clip, along with comments that also intentionally mischaracterized what Ryan said. Despite being told the clip was dishonestly edited and that Ryan had not said that the two were claiming, neither Schmidt nor Bullock would remove the post from their Twitter accounts. Bullock did not respond to an email seeking comment. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that Community Action of Greene County is getting a $50,000 grant to fix a safe house for domestic violence. The state and municipal facilities capital program funding will replace damaged windows and decayed siding and maintain the safety of the building, the location of which is secret, to protect those staying there. Florence Ohl, executive director of Community Action of Greene County, said, and I quote, survivors and their children coming to us for residential services deserve to be met in safe, welcoming spaces, and this grant will see that that is a reality now, end quote. Community Action's domestic violence services include the safe house, transitional apartment housing, and assistance with obtaining orders of protection, social and supportive services, accompaniment to court proceedings, and counseling. Community Action's help is free and confidential, and anyone in need of assistance can call the organization's 24-hour hotline at 518-943-9211. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update.
For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers mainly before noon. It will be partly cloudy with a temperature high near 71 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 69 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers before 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Tuesday, October 25th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. WGXC, during our Tower Power Pledge Drive, we're asking for your help at wgxc.org/donate. If you can go there and make a contribution, you would be supporting local community voices like Corey McClaskin from Catskill. His show, The Forgotten Geek, is on at 10 a.m. Rob Saffer from Ulster County has new music on his Overlook show on Tuesday at noon. We've got some old-time Halloween music at 2 p.m. and the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. features works from Scanner, Black Siren Radio, and Andrea Sonomaka. At 4 p.m., Randall Martin hosts WGXC Afternoon Show live from Hudson. And then we're live from Hudson again at 7 p.m. with Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, their local movie show on the radio at WGXC. And then Michael Wilde is live from Hudson at 8 p.m. with Mostly Singles. And Dan Seward is live from somewhere in Columbia County at 10 p.m. on the Battlefield Earth Show at WGXC.org.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston, and they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others, on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar. We'll be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, October 25th. Local early morning temperatures range from 55 in Ashland to a high of 59 in Chatham. Regional average soil temperature is 55 degrees. Snow is about 1,200 miles away in the Manitoba province, right about near Lake Winnipeg. And that is plenty far enough away, am I right? So if you are also still in the mood for fall, don't wait for the Friday report. The foliage is flying off of the shelves. Get it while you can. Currently, Ulster and Dutchess County are the best bet for any lingering leaf peeping. If you do today, though, bring an umbrella, because rain chances remain all day and we get a high of 68 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, still soggy with a low of 60. Tomorrow will be pretty much the same, wet with a high of 68. Overnight begins a temperature slide, however, hitting 54 degrees. Then, Thursday, we dry out with some stiff winds and a high of 62. Friday hits a high of only 57. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:07 a.m., low tide at 9:49 a.m., high tide again at 3:31 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:22 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 54 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 5:47 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see things are pretty calm, but that could easily change. Astronomers are watching an active sunspot region develop on the opposite side of the sun. Should be swinging into view later this week. Solar wind speed is currently 427 kilometers per second at 4.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 46. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And we're coming down to the wire with the radio tower. If that is something you wish to keep on going, now is the time to head on over to WGXE.org, hit that big, easy donate button, or if you prefer the personal touch, don't forget Boomin' Bloom in Durham, Spikes in Catskill, and John Doe Records in Hudson, which are excellent donation points.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Milad H. Mazari of Murray, Utah. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the Better Weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxc.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay.
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or 20 bucks a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011.
keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to WGXC.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them?
We'll be right back. Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The outcome that was reached was disappointing to those of us who supported the president, but it was done through the lawful process.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who defended the results of the 2020 presidential election in January 2021, was granted an emergency request by the U.S. Supreme Court to pause a subpoena for his testimony in a Georgia probe into pro-Trump election interference. Fulton County investigators want to know about calls Graham made to officials following the election, which Graham claims were related to his own fact-finding. The senator argues that constitutional protections for lawmakers should shield him from being forced to testify. 2 weeks from the midterms, a red wave is reemerging. A Monmouth survey shows the GOP with a 6-point advantage among registered voters on a generic congressional ballot, with more Republicans extremely motivated to vote than Democrats. However, Democratic pollster John Anzalone notes that recent election cycle polling has been unreliable.
The reality is polling is hard. The fact is that you have to have a commitment to do it the right way, and it's expensive, and most media companies won't do that.
Other polls in key Senate races show Republicans up 4 points in Ohio and 2 in Nevada. Democratic Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock is now polling just 1 point ahead of Republican challenger Herschel Walker.
I don't know if you've seen it, but our kids are behind. Yeah. They're behind because of Senator Warnock and Joe Biden. That they decided not to let our kids go to school. They had the money. They had the resources to get our kids back in school, but they held them out.
President Joe Biden on Monday expressed optimism about an 11th-hour swing in Democrats' favor. California Governor Gavin Newsom implied he will not run for president in 2024. Newsom committed to serving all 4 years of his term if reelected, countering challenger Republican State Senator Brian Dahl's allegations that he is not focusing on California.
It was out of state for a few hours to take on his party and his leader of his party, Donald Trump, who he was a passionate supporter of, and what they're doing to democracy, and how they're attacking women's right to choose.
Newsom has a double-digit lead, but in the heavily democratically favored Michigan and Minnesota governor's races, Republicans are now statistically even. Two people with weapons and wearing masks were seen at mail-in ballot drop boxes in Maricopa County, Arizona. At least 2 voter intimidation complaints have been filed with the Secretary of State. Arizona is identified as a top state for election threats. Britain will have a new prime minister for the 2nd time in a matter of weeks. Rishi Sunak received a warm welcome from conservatives who selected him to replace Liz Truss, who was forced to resign over an unpopular budget plan. The 42-year-old becomes the UK's first prime minister of color. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. This week, we're looking at the reasons why people don't vote. Research shows that when citizens don't follow the daily news or when their family and friends don't vote, citizens are less likely to vote. A 2020 Ipsos NPR survey shows a suspicion of news media among non-voters, 80% of whom agree with the statement, "The mainstream media are more interested in making money than telling the truth." Non-voters watch less television, see less news on mobile devices and computers, and are less likely to follow campaigns. Only a third watched part of a political convention, and 2/3 didn't watch a debate. Another factor, family and friends. Only 5% of non-voters say they do discuss politics with family members. 41% never discuss politics with their family. 53% say they never discuss politics with friends. But there is more and more evidence that influence of family members and friends can encourage non-voters to register and vote, particularly among younger voters. A 2016 New York Times article interviewed Henry Brady, dean of the Goldman School of Public Policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He said, "Voting behavior is very much a habit. If you've had the behavior modeled in your home by your parents consistently voting, by political discussion, sometimes by participation, you start a habit formation, and then when you become a little older, you'll feel it's your duty and responsibility to register and vote." Links to articles and the surveys can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th District and has yet to be included in the rankings.
Von Golden is reporting for WSKG that Democrat Josh Riley began October with just over $1.3 million, while his Republican opponent Mark Molinaro began the month with $404,000. Riley raised just over $1.3 million in the third quarter of 2022, while Molinaro raised around $46,000 during the same time period in their election for the new 19th congressional district. Outside groups and political action committees have spent $1.6 million opposing Riley and $2.2 million against Molinaro. The website 538.com predicts that Riley would beat Molinaro 58 out of 100 times. A Spectrum News Siena poll released October 6th gave Riley a 5-point advantage over Molinaro in the 19th congressional district race within the poll's margin of error. Voting begins October 29th and ends October 8th. And you can read more about this story at the WSKG website. Nancy Vu reports for Politico that while Republican North Country Congressperson Elise Stefanik voted against President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package last year, she's touting the benefits the bill she voted against is bringing to her district. Stefanik said at a press conference last week, and I quote, "This significant investment will help bolster rural hospitals in upstate New York and the North Country after lost revenues due to the coronavirus pandemic, help address the physician shortage, and ensure these hospitals can continue to meet our community's health care needs," end quote. At the time she voted against the American Rescue Plan, she called it a, and I quote, "far-left wish list," end quote. In August, Stefanik crowed about the $1 million coming to her district from a rural development grant, which she also voted against. A Stefanik spokesperson admitted the 21st Congressional District Representative voted against the bills, but then still tries to claim credit for the bills Stefanik voted against. The spokesperson said, and I quote, "She voted no against Pelosi's radical spending bills because of far-left provisions, but she will always effectively deliver solutions and funds for her constituents, and then she will announce and promote them when they are delivered," end quote. White House Assistant Press Secretary Robin Patterson pushed back. Patterson said, and I quote, "After trying to sell middle-class families out to Big Pharma and fighting to raise insurance premiums for working families, it's no surprise that Representative Stefanik and House Republicans are trying to take credit for President Biden and Congressional Democrats' work to protect rural hospitals," end quote. Read more about this story at Politico.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republican Mark Molinaro reiterated his opposition to abortions after 17 weeks in an interview with the newspaper this week. He also said he was, and I quote, pro-life, end quote, but believes the procedure should be, and I quote, rare, safe, and legal, end quote. Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, is running against Josh Riley, a Democrat from the Ithaca area, to be congressional representative of the new 19th Congressional District, which now stretches from the Hudson Valley and Catskills to Tompkins County in western New York. The abortion issue was credited by many for Molinaro's loss to Democrat Pat Ryan in a special election in August for the old 19th Congressional District. Now, Molinaro is saying, and I quote, "I will not support Congress taking action to ban abortion nationwide," end quote. Fellow Republican Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, has proposed a nationwide ban on abortion after 15 weeks, and Molinaro has not commented on how he would vote on a 15-week ban. Molinaro claims Riley has been intentionally distorting his position on abortion to, and I quote, frighten women into thinking that I don't care deeply. I do. I want us to have a sensitive conversation about what we think the limits on abortion ought to be and what the consequences of those decisions are, end quote. Molinaro says of his possible future votes to limit women's medical conditions that, and I quote, I know that we're not going to necessarily come to an absolute agreement, but I do believe there's some commonality. I think there is some common ground, end quote. Voting begins October 29th and ends November 8th, and you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Fresh off of a tour around the campus, looking at the garden, nature lab, Freedom Square, and is now carrying around a deceased brown snake, we have with us Devin Franklin in the studio. Welcome.
Hi, Sina. Thank you. Good to be back here again.
Yeah. So let's start with, who are you? And can you give us an overview of flying deer?
Sure. Well, I have been in love with backyards and the natural world ever since I was a little kid, growing up down in suburban Virginia, playing out in the backyard and having some space to explore the stream and crack rocks together and see what happens when they do that, and pulling up plants out of the dirt, and learning later in life that it's actually the remedy for poison ivy called jewelweed. And when I started meeting some teachers who taught me just how much there is to learn right in a backyard, whether you're in rural country or right in the city, it's just endless things to discover. And even more important than that is, for me, the peace and the calm and the quiet that I feel when I tune into my surroundings. So I am part of Flying Deer Nature Center, which is a wilderness school and community located down in East Chatham in Columbia County. And that's what we do. I basically get to keep living my childhood day after day after day with kids and adults who want to be outdoors and experience the joy of discovering the natural world.
Isn't it wonderful when we get to take our childhood and make it into our life philosophy and living? So yeah. More on the philosophy. So what are some of the other than your own experiences, what are some of the philosophies that build into the work that you're doing and some of the projects that you're working on?
Sure. I just came this afternoon from a public school, Ichabod Crane, down in Valencia, where I had a team of staff working to get the students out of the school. And, you know, the students and the teachers willingly come out of the school every other week and spend a little less than an hour session with us right in their backyard. And we are discovering who's there. We call them wild neighbors. And it's, you know, everybody from a blue jay flying over us. And actually, there's one blue jay that day after day, all day, I noticed was flying back and forth, going this way with an acorn, going that way with nothing in their mouth. And was so steady that I'm going to name that blue jay Martha. Don't know, you know, whether it's a male or a female, but that's just what I felt like calling. I was like, this bird deserves a name because it was so familiar. So we had fun watching the birds, identifying poison ivy.
Mm-hmm. Which is tricky because in every season it looks very different.
It really does. But we boiled it down to three things so that we can always, you always know for sure it's got these three certain identifying characteristics. And in fact, some of these students have been doing this program for 4 years. So when I give them the quiz at the beginning of the year, they nail it. Mm. And that's like all the kids that I work with in that program. They not only, you know, are gaining the knowledge of who's out there, what's out there, what's going to hurt me, what's not, what do I not need to worry about, but my favorite thing is their faces. And, like, I can almost see their hearts light up like a light bulb when they come outside and they get to be the other half of the child that they are, which is the one that's allowed to be a little more wild, a little more free, a little more exuberant, and very curious about what's around them. So I'm just coming from that. And so there it is. I got to experience that with them because they've got it. Yeah.
And one of the collaborators right now that Flying Deer is working with is Sean Stevens from the Stockbridge-Munsee community. Can you talk about who he is and your collaboration?
Sure. Yeah, Sean has been coming out from his community in Bowler, Wisconsin, to our area, Columbia County, Berkshire County, kind of the heart of the Stockbridge-Munsee Mohican traditional lands for a long time. And we have fairly recently been connecting with him and talking and And hearing his stories, you know, his people's story and stories about their life in their traditional home and the progression of stages of their move out of their traditional lands to their current home, which is kind of like a pinball machine.
And the push out from
the
there.
The push out, yeah, of the colonist push out. And so he's been telling stories, sharing that story with our staff, with our students, and recently with an open community invite at Flying Deer. And it's really it's deep listening, you know? It's deep storytelling about that story and, you know, how it's alive today, too. You know, and his people and his community in Buller. So
you're bringing kids outdoors, which is generally not in our standard education system, and you're working on storytelling, understanding the history of the Stockbridge-Munsee community and our relationship with here. All of this is a part of unlearning from these kind of standard systems, these regulated ways of education that have boxed us in. What are you seeing as a result from the participants in this kind of learning?
Well, I think for me, what's most valuable for me about this is spending time with a person of this land. You know, so he was not born here in his traditional lands. You know, his home is in Wisconsin, but his ancestors, this is their land, and the story is of this land. So for me to spend time with somebody who has the place to share those stories and give their perspective, like that's the thing I most appreciate is, you know, I'm sitting here with a representative, a voice, and hearing what he has to say. And, you know, I suppose many people have been asking him, I've been hearing over the months, what's the most important thing we can do, you know, as people, you know, colonist descended individuals who do live here and do call this place our home. He said, well, remember what I shared with you and pass it on. We're in that process. Yeah, it's good.
So you came into the studio freshly off of a walk from the grounds of the sanctuary, and through the Our Town grant that the sanctuary received, we are hoping to work on a collaboration looking at urban ecology and working on an eco art trail. What is some of the inspiration that you've come off of this visit with?
Oh, goodness. The last time I was here, I got a tour of the garden, which is looking beautiful and laden right now with just many kinds of fruit. And, you know, I got another layer of stories from Branda, you know, spot by spot. So a deeper appreciation for the story of this place and this community, but also seeing the new spaces. The new nature lab place is, like, really cool. The beautiful, like, map on the wooden border there mm-hmm. on the wall, and meeting some other community members I haven't met. And I'm just really excited to you know, for Flying Deer to collaborate with the Eco Walk. And I mean, the walk we just took from the square, Freedom Square, to the garden was so much fun, you know, bringing it back again to the snake here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this snake sitting on the sidewalk. It wasn't in the bushes. It wasn't in the weeds. It was like right on the corner of the sidewalk. And I looked down. I'm like, oh, garter snake. You know, every snake I see is a garter snake. And I'm like, wait, did a double take? No, that's not a garter snake. What is that? So I think it might be a brown snake. I'm going to bring it home to my son to help me identify it. But I think if people come to this eco walk, they will undoubtedly be able to see and share, some folks, just how much there is to see in an urban setting. You know, like, we were out there, and I was asking Masha, who was next to me, you know, where's the closest hawk right now? Is there one around here right now? And we were checking out the birds and noticing a lot of them were singing and playing and fighting and eating. And it's like, huh, doesn't seem like there's a bird around here, a hawk around here right now. But another friend, Christian, who was staying there, he's like, well, we just live 12 blocks away. Mm-hmm. And actually, we used to have chickens, and there is a Cooper's hawk that comes in every once in a while. And I'll be in my house and hear the chickens make that one kind of noise. And then, you know, and then the crows start coming in, and it's like, oh, Cooper's hawk's back.
Mm.
And the beauty and curiosity of nature is like everywhere, including right here.
And you have to tune into it. I was very fortunate too. My parents took us on hikes every Sunday. And until you actually are tuned into it and like learning new birds or the snakes, what I love about it is you start to see the world differently and engage mm-hmm. with it differently.
Yep.
So thank you for the work that you're doing. And we're looking forward to this collaboration with you. And
me too.
Do you know the website for Flying Deer?
www.flyingdeernaturecenter.org.
Well, thank you so much, and we hope to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Sina.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Tuesday, October 25th. We start off each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Citgo in South Caro has gas for $3.55 a gallon, the lowest price according to the Gas Buddy website. Then we look at the air quality forecast, which is just a 3 on Tuesday, down from a 10 on Monday, and in the very low end of the scale. The UV index is a 0 on Tuesday, and that's because showers are predicted on Tuesday. There's a 30% chance of rain with patchy fog throughout the day and cloudy skies with a high of 66 and a low around 58. Wednesday, there's again a 50% chance of showers with cloudy skies, a high of 65 and a low around 51. And Thursday, it turns sunny with a high of 58 and a low around 37. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.